Happy Tuesday! Welcome to Scalzo and Rust across ESPN Wisconsin. He is Big Time Benny Bruss, also known as Baltic Benny. Benny Karen. Bad Vibes Benny.
Is it the return of Benny Karen?
Ben Bruss, I'm Greg Scalzo, Josh DiMaggio running the show at the Gruber Law Office. One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City in Milwaukee. Alex Strofe running things out of the Park Bank ESPN Madison Studios downtown off the Capitol Square. And you, the Scalzo and Bruss family, chiming in. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. Happy Independence Day to everybody except for Ben Bruss.
Yeah, see, that's a very, very harsh wish that you just put upon me right there. I couldn't be more American. I can't put it any other way. Grill out. I went to Road America, watched the NASCAR race. I was drinking tons of Bud Light. I went and watched fireworks with friends and family. I was out on the lake on Saturday in Madison. I mean, if you think of America, you think of me. So happy Independence Day to you as well, Greg.
Do you want to explain the need for you to come out, like, in the most defensive manner ever?
You're right.
About how American you are.
You're right. With no context to everyone who's joining us right now, as Greg throws my chewed pen at me.
It's disgusting.
Yeah, I texted you guys that I was happy it was going to rain yesterday. I don't think that, like, that doesn't make me un-American.
On July 4th, you were rooting for the rain.
I had a busy Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
You were such a baby. It bothers me how much of a baby you are. Yes, we got the text yesterday, and we get the text yesterday at 1:48 p.m. Mid-after, prime grilling, uh-huh. Bud Light drinking, having a blast time of the day. And it says, pumped, it's going to rain. Get the loud people away from the pool. That's the pool that is outside of Ben Bruss' apartment, in his apartment complex.
All right, I can see why it's a little
off-putting. And he's basically like, oh, I went to Road America for the race on Sunday, and I went on a boat, my buddy's boat, the day before that. I'm tired. Now I hope that it rains so everyone has a bad time on the 4th of July.
No, you're not rooting, everyone.
No. Everyone, because I was at the Whitefish Bay 4th of July parade. Everybody was having a party. You had thousands of people and families out and about having a good time. You don't think the rain affected that? You think it was just going to rain over the one area outside of your apartment?
So next time I should say, I hope a single cell comes over the pool at my apartment. Would that have been in better taste?
You should just move. You should just move. You do not belong where you live. If you are rooting that everyone around you has a bad time, that's not a good place to be. If you're at work and you're hoping everybody around you fails, you should quit your job. If you're on a team and you hope that everybody, you know, that's shooting the ball misses and you hope that your team loses, you should quit the team.
I'm 2 for 2 right now. Love my job. Love my teams.
If you're living in a place that is designed for young people to have fun, especially in the 3 months of summer that happens in Wisconsin, and you're constantly rooting for nobody to have fun, you're tattling on them to the leasing office because they're out too late, making too much noise after 10 p.m., or you're rooting for rain on a summer day that happens to be the 4th of July, the most patriotic of all days.
And I love the 4th of July.
No, you don't.
U.S. Sunday.
You do
greatest
not.
Greatest country
you
in the world.
I watched Borat this weekend.
You cannot say that you love the 4th of July if you're actively rooting for people to have a bad time on the 4th of July. On the 4th of July.
But, like, the 4th of July was a school night. You know what I mean? Like, we had work the next day. So it's like
though. Like, you could have taken Tuesday off.
Yeah, but
instead you took Friday off. If you cared about the 4th as much as you claim to, you would have taken the Tuesday off so you could have enjoyed your Monday at a maximum level. Instead, you took the Friday off because you care more about your weekend outside of the 4th than you care about the 4th. I also don't know why you care so much about making it known that you care about the 4th. It's a really bizarre thing.
Because
but you don't care about it.
No, that's the thing. Is I do. Like, I've my whole life, I've claimed to be the 4th of July is my favorite holiday, and then Christmas. Everyone's like always like, oh, Christmas is the best. I love the holiday season.
Do you just do that to be different? Because it's clearly not true.
No, I do it because there's nothing better. And I've realized, can I tell you, without you judging, what I've told people all the times that I've told them that the 4th of July is my favorite holiday.
But you can continue.
There is nothing better than getting grilled by the sun in 90 degree weather while some steaks or some burgers or some hot dogs are on the grill. You got fruit. You're outside having a great time. There's no better feeling just getting beamed at by the sun, enjoying some great American grilled food.
But that's what you were trying to rob from everybody.
But that's what I had done on the 3rd. And I feel like I had celebrated the 4th on the 3rd.
No. That's the thing, though, is you don't care about the 4th then. Do you think, like, just somebody, all of a sudden, a town is going to be like, you know what? Hey, I'm a little busy here.
Put it on the poll.
No.
Did you celebrate the 4th of July more on July 3rd or July 4th this weekend?
But that's not what this is about.
It is what it's about.
This is about a man claiming to be the biggest 4th of July fan out there who claims that who lies to people and telling them that he is, that's his favorite holiday, actively rooting against the sun on the 4th of July so that he could sit quietly in his apartment naked under a weighted blanket playing video games with himself. Like, you are a
fourth
fraud.
The way you said
fraud.
With himself, I didn't like, but I see what your point was.
The idea that you're acting like the 4th matters, you just like a big summer weekend.
No.
If the 4th of July happens to land on a Thursday and you celebrate on a Saturday, you're not celebrating the 4th. You're just having a summer weekend. You could have done what you did any other weekend. You could have gone on Friday to Madison, stayed at your buddy's place, played golf on Saturday, went out on the boat, and then went up to a race at Road America on a Sunday. Literally any other weekend of the year. And you're acting. So I'm not saying that you have to celebrate on the 4th. I'm saying that as somebody who continues to pretend how much you care about it, it's very obvious. What do I always say about words and actions?
Oh, man. I used this on someone the other day. Don't
your
tell me, show me.
Actions always speak more than your words.
Don't tell me, show me.
Yeah. Well, you showed us that you don't care as much about the 4th as you pretend to.
Well, can I have a rebuttal with that poll, please? Let's see. Because to me, I celebrated July 4th basically on July 3rd. That was my, like, great American holiday. Because it was like, I know it wasn't actually the 4th, but I knew I didn't have responsibilities like the next day. On the 4th, it's hard for me to go out for the 4th.
I had 100 Bud Lights yesterday. I had responsibilities today. Josh, you managed to have
Yeah, but I had 100
a good time.
Bud Lights Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So I don't have any room anymore on the 4th. And I'm good today.
I mean, nothing less American than that. Nothing less American than just not being able
to
pull
it all together. Am I hurting my cause about being a 4th of July guy, Josh?
This has gone worse for you than I thought it was going to at the start. Because I thought we were going to stick on the fact that, hey, it is the day before everyone goes back to work. So if people got in a little early, but you tried to be the 4th guy, and then you just think because you celebrated on the 3rd, everyone else should celebrate on the 3rd as
everyone
well.
Everyone should suffer the 4th.
So
the fact that your brain can do that is a remark. Like, I'm jealous.
It's a skill.
Josh, I think you noticed there was a point in time during where Greg was like, he literally hit everything on the head.
Uh-huh.
And we do a radio show in which I'm not supposed to just be silent. But there was a moment there where I was like, he said everything that I was thinking. And I could feel it, and I was like, I thought I was celebrating the 4th, but really I was celebrating the 3rd. I'm really not as American as I think as I am. I don't value the 4th of July like I do, and I could have done everything that I did this weekend on any other summer weekend. I was like, holy crap, he's right. What do you do when that happens? Just take the loss? I'm not a 4th guy anymore?
I think you either need to change what you tell people, or you've got a lot to live up to next year.
I'm a summer weekend guy.
Great. It's awesome.
Does that work?
You're Josiah DeGuara right now. You have a bounce back year you need to hit next year.
Totally. I feel
if
like
you want to deliver
ruined,
on your promises.
I've ruined my reputation as the 4th of July guy, and I am inspired to bring that back.
But also,
move out of the city.
You got to move, dude.
Like I think so too.
If you are being pushed to a point where you're rooting for everybody to have a horrible time and rain, like, you just gotta move.
I agree.
It clearly bothers you.
And you know,
much.
You know, I'm an inside guy. I barely even open up the blinds. I just need to get my man cave set up with my gamer chair and multiple TVs in a basement, and I'll be fine. Yeah. And I can walk outside and grill and do all the things that I want to do on the 4th, and I won't be rooting for anyone else to have a bad day.
Josh in Lake Geneva says, what turn did you sit on Sunday, Benny? You were at the Road America Quick Trip 250 NASCAR Cup Series race. Josh continues, I didn't see you there. I was in Canada Corner, turn 12 and turn 3 by the Corvette Corral.
Correct. That is a really good spot on the track, Canada Corner. I was in turn 5 for most of the race, and I will be spotting next year for Austin Dillon if they bring the Cup Series back to Road America.
Jonah in Cedarburg chimes in, the official and official robot builder of the Scalzo and Brust family. Josh,
this is
Greg.
This is Greg's
cool
puppet.
On that, by the way.
I didn't want to cool him because, like, we like Road America.
I love that, but him being like, next year I'm going to be a spotter.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay. Now that I got approval for it,
he's going to read Jonah next. I got a bunch of Greg Scalzo puppets, Josh DiMaggio being one of them.
Jonah calls him as fairly as anybody in the Scalzo and Brust family. He chimes in and says, is Ben secretly a communist? Because it sounds like he hates the 4th of July and America.
That is the most insulting thing.
Red Colt Brust?
Stop it, Josh. If anything, no, we're not going there.
Redcoats weren't communists. You don't have to worry about that.
Well, I don't want to start accusing like.
You want to accuse Josh of being a communist? Is what you're saying.
Correct.
Yeah, I can see his brain working. Yep.
Appleman
didn't think that was a smart move. Appleman went to the race, right?
Yep. Josh in Lake Geneva also chimes in and says, turn 5, too trendy for me. Is Brust, of course, going to be in the trendy spot.
I had 3 people had never been to a race. It's the best spot to introduce people.
Appleman says, hi, boys. I want to thank you and Road America for an awesome Sunday. Somehow we had all access, including meeting drivers, checking out the cars, and we spent the entire race watching from the hot pits. He sent some awesome pictures, including one with friend of show TVV, Tim Van Born, who we do love. You'll hear him on Homer and Tony. Says, experience of a lifetime. I love you guys. Appleman, we love you too. And shout out to our friends at Road America for making that amazing experience happen for the Appleman.
Yeah, I'm so happy Appleman had a great time. It's a great track. Hope they're back next year at the Cup Series, but I got to redeem myself. Pat on the back to me. Hand up, I had a bad 4th of July as the biggest 4th of July guy in America. I got to be better.
Bucks continued hitting for the cycle as they brought Serge Ibaka back, which means that they did literally a run it back, adding a 34-year-old Joe Ingles coming off a torn ACL. Some other teams in the East made moves. We'll talk about where the Bucks sit. Plus, is it Josiah DeGuara's bounce-back season? All coming up on Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.
He can't say that with a smile and a laughter, because I actually think you believe it, and I'm here for it.
I do.
You're listening to Bud Light Scalzo and Brust.
Here's the thing. I watched a different kid catch a ball later in the game in his mitt, and the crowd like gave him high fives. They were all excited for him. I didn't really get the same reaction when I caught it and gave it to the kid because they probably saw the kid on the ground. Yeah, Josh, shut up. I'm having a self-realization here, and I don't need that overarching judgment that you give me.
Interesting.
So. Stream live and listen anytime on your time on Wisconsin On Demand.
Agency still ongoing. The big question remains, where will Kevin Durant end up? But the question about what the Bucks will look like in the 22-23 season is not a question at all, because they will look exactly the same. exactly the same, save for the potential of Joe Ingles joining them mid to late season after coming off a torn ACL. He'll be 35 years old at the time, and he could provide some playoff shooting. Everything good else passing. Is intact.
Yeah, I mean, it's shocking to me, to be honest. Like, I went into this offseason thinking that with where the Bucks were, knowing that Giannis is unbelievable and will continue to get better, that the Bucks would want to do that coincide Giannis. And they really didn't. Like, Giannis is the only guy that's going to get better on this team. You know what Drew Holiday is. You know what Chris Middleton is. Brooke Lopez is old. Pat Connaughton is a guy who's gonna be the same consistent guy. Bobby Portis, we talked about him when he was signed. He's going to be the same consistent guy. And then you see what the Celtics have done. They traded away one of their first-round picks for Malcolm Brogdon. And yes, sure, everyone's like, oh, you know, he gets injured a lot. Well, guess what? He provides even more versatility to a team that's already ascending and younger outside of Al Horford than the Milwaukee Bucks. And you got multiple guys getting better at Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. You know what I mean? You got two core guys on the Boston Celtics getting better. Then you have the Miami Heat, who are actually legitimately in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes. They have enough pieces to potentially offer the Brooklyn Nets to get Kevin Durant to their team. PJ Tucker signed with the Philadelphia 76ers and ascending MVP Joel Embiid. So you just look around, and part of the Bucks' strength is the continuity that they have within the team and how well they play with each other and how close they are as a unit. But ultimately, man, if you just say we're going to run it back, you're saying that we were going to win the 2022 NBA championship. And it's hard for me to say that just of certain. Because if Chris Middleton's back, sure. Like, I think they likely would have got over the Celtics. But you still have to go through the Heat, which is a tough opponent for any time the Bucks play them. And then you got the Warriors, who have won multiple championships prior to the Bucks winning their one. So, like, again, it is interesting to me, because I feel as if it's complacent. Everyone's continuing to get better. From the last time you and I spoke about this, and the Bucks signed Serge Ibaka, which didn't make any sense at all. Any sense at all. He doesn't fit at all.
It made all the sense.
Well,
it
was, you're just, right.
He was on the team.
You're right.
That was the criteria for who they wanted to bring in.
You're going to say that.
Were you on the team last year? Yep.
Come back.
Here's a contract. We're going to run it back. And and again, it shows this confidence that the Bucks have in saying, if Chris Middleton was healthy and we were 100%, we were the best team in the NBA. And they must feel like everyone who is behind them must catch them right now, which is a dangerous game to be playing. Ask any defending champion in any sport. It's always harder to get back there and win it again than it is for the first time. And I think that's where you have to look at what this upcoming season will be like for the Bucks. For Giannis, you could expect to continue to get better, but everybody else on that roster is fully baked. Like, there's no guy that you're pointing to and saying, oh, this person can make a jump this year. You could always shoot a little bit better from year to year. You know, you could always maybe improve slightly here
but
there,
that's
but there's
the
not
funny
a riser.
Thing. That's the funny thing, Greg, is the Bucks won the NBA championship shooting 32% from three. They were worse than 32% from three in this last playoff run, and then you've run it back with the exact same guys? Okay, you add Joe Ingles, but who knows if Joe Ingles is even going to be able to find the floor at his age coming off an ACL
or
injury.
Or his mobility will make him a massive defensive liability. And then you can't stick him and Grayson on the court at the same time.
I'm in the mindset of go. Keep getting better. And to me, with the way they brought everyone back, you have to make it to the NBA championship or this offseason is a disappointment.
Well, yeah,
hands
obviously.
Down. I mean, hands down now, though, because they did nothing. So they're basically saying, we're a championship team. We're running it back. And if we don't, gosh, what do you do? Because you don't really set yourself up for, you know, adding more pieces the year after that.
No, I mean, then you have
to start
dealing a little bit.
I guess with Brooke with an expiring contract, but you just locked up Bobby Portis. They're likely going to lock up Pat Connaughton, who took that player-friendly deal, so that's going to be more money.
Team-friendly deal, yeah.
team friendly this year, but he's eventually going to want to get a better deal next year.
You said player friendly.
Year.
I just want to make it clear for those that didn't know. Like,
Not player friendly.
No. And that's where you do. I mean, at midseason, is there a chance to get rid of Brooks expiring? Like, are there certain things to. No, he's not. It's not expiring until after this season.
Correct.
Wow. Yeah. Look, the pressure's on them. The pressure was going to be on them from the start, but it does feel a little bit like this team thinks they have what they need. And again, I just always question that. I always get a little bit worried because I always think that the time that you, that moment where you feel like you've got it all figured out is that moment that somebody's catching in the race.
Correct. Like what Boston did. What Boston did. They had a recipe last year that worked. They were young, they were versatile, they were athletic, and they had a bunch of positionless guys and a rim protector in Robert Williams. They added another one of those players who is, as you mentioned to me, calm and composed, something that Boston was not. Again, that is a team that I think got better, and as I mentioned earlier, Giannis will get better for the Bucks. Multiple players will get better on the Celtics. You already know what the rest of the Bucks are. I just don't like the complacency of running it back, because if you don't win a championship, it just feels like you wasted an offseason.
800-990-3776. Number to get into the show. We'll open up the phone lines here. We'll get Phil and Cedarburg joining us in the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank. Phil, welcome to Skelton and Russ. What do you got?
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Welcome, Phil.
Because you like it when people... Wait, I just want to be polite like that. So, I'm not sure what you think they can do here. And I think there's also danger with trying to keep getting better. I mean, if you look at Brooklyn, you know, they kept trying to get better. Hey, let's add James Harden. That'll make us better. They gave away a lot of really, really, really good players to put that big three together. Especially that last one with Harden. I mean, they gave up players that probably are kind of borderline all-star caliber right now. That guy on Cleveland, Jared Allen, I think his name. Good player, man. They gave him away. So I think there's a danger to just say, hey, we gotta change. We gotta get better and better. And I don't know, short of trading one of your big three, what can you do? I mean, you're capped up on with the salary cap. You got three max guys. What are you supposed to do?
Yeah, so Phil, thank you for the call. I think this goes back to the draft. Like, this goes back to drafting Marjon Beauchamp, one of the first times they drafted a first-round pick, actually, Greg, since Dante DiVincenzo, because Jordan Woro was a glorified first-round pick. He was actually a second-round pick. So they really haven't had a first-round pick, and now they decide to use the first-round pick on a young guy in a year where they're supposed to be ascending. Again, Grayson Allen, a $10 million contract, he could have been moved. They could have freed up space for a mid-level veteran to come in instead of a vet minimum guy like Joe Ingles. All of this needed to be done earlier. And so, again, like, to Phil's point, there's not much they can do right now because they had already signed Bobby. They had signed Pat.
No, you know what, though? It's such an excuse. You see it in the NBA constantly where it's they can't do this, they can't do that.
You
can always bring in a third team at times to make contracts work. Like, you can. You could have been active in the trade market. You could have found ways in order to shake up this roster. And nobody here is advocating for them to change the structure of the team.
No.
It's just, do you take a flyer on X here or... Do you keep going with in signing what could be viewed as bad contracts like Grayson Allen at $10 million a year when he's a defensive liability in the playoffs, like Bobby Portis at
$12 million
a year. The Connaughton, based on what it is now, is a no-brainer. But you also have to wonder how much this ownership group is willing to go into the luxury tax and how expensive they want that check to be at the end of the season for the team that they're putting out there. And so there's a lot of factors at play. It's just so bizarre that you see a team like this
in today's era
just run it back so blatantly.
It's different. It's confident. It's ballsy. But I don't love it when you see other younger teams getting better and the Heat looking to try and trade for Kevin Durant and the Sixers add PJ Tucker and knowing that even if you get through the tough East, You got the Warriors, who also are kind of getting better in their own weird way, giving up Otto Porter and Gary Payton. But I don't want to get into what the West is doing. They're going to be there waiting. So you are now in the tougher. It always was the West. The West was always tougher. Now it's the East. And you're just being like, all right, we're good enough to run through the East. And I just don't like that.
It's going to be an interesting season in Milwaukee for that reason, because will that confidence pay off? The core of this team wasn't going to change. How much does Coach Bud value the continuity of saying, okay, I know at least exactly what I'm going to get out of these guys? Clearly, but will that come to fruition, or would you wish, hey, this team should have been more aggressive? Because when they won the championship, they were aggressive in season. They traded for PJ Tucker in season.
Correct.
They had just traded for Drew Holiday. Like, when they've been great, when they've gotten better noticeably, it's through them being aggressive. It's not them doing what they did for a very long time in Milwaukee, hovering in basketball mediocrity, which is just let's run it back. Let's give John Salmons another run at this thing. Bogut's, you know, like, I mean, it's true.
We kind of did it with Ilyasova 8 times, but.
Well, they just keep bringing him back. I could use, you know, another what? Ilyasova.
Let's bring him back. Let's bring him back. One last thing. No. Actually, you know what? If the Bucks go into the luxury tax, they can just go to LabCorp and make life better, because I don't care. Pay the money.
Yep, you can pay the money, and LabCorp Clinical Research Trials is a great place for you to make good money while helping to improve health and lives. So get your head in the game and participate in clinical trials with LabCorp right now. Studies looking for healthy non-smoking men aged 18 to 60. You could join for one stay of 5 to 9 nights plus one phone call, compensation up to $5,600 provided. Another study for healthy non-smoking adults aged 65 and up. Compensation up to $4,500 provided. This study would require one stay at their clinic, totaling 6 nights with 2 follow-up visits. It's that easy. You could find a number of these studies at LabCorpClinicalTrials.com. LabCorpClinicalTrials.com, where you could get paid really good money for helping to improve the health and lives of everybody. So thank you for that seamless transition, Ben. That was very, very well
done. That's what I'm here for, baby.
Yes. You can always tell when you're coming
back.
Smooth
as ever.
Yep. What was that, a 4-day weekend?
Oh, I'm great. My brain's firing.
How many assists did you have in your career at Wisconsin?
That was mean.
You're going to chime in right now with that?
Will a countdown timer for traffic lights make you more patient? We'll talk about that next in 1 or 0.
Oh, great 1 or 0, Josh. That's what you had, Greg Tease? Oh, my God. Glass house.
You're listening to Skousman and Brust, presented by Bud Light.
Stop! Oh, and wiggle with it. Yeah, stop! Oh, and wiggle with it. 369. And I just don't want to swear right now. Give it to me one more time. Get low, get low, get low, get low, get low, get low. To the window,
to the wall.
Subscribe and listen to full show podcasts available free on Apple, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Scalzo and Brust, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. The Bucks don't do much over the weekend. However, the Celtics, who knocked the Bucks out, add former Buck Malcolm Brogdon, the president, to their squad. Benny Bucks, Ben Brust, myself, Greg Scalzo, or Benny Baltic, as some people are calling him. Join you here.
Why is that? Is it for the same reason that I think? Like Benny Baltic, I played in the Baltic League in Lithuania. I was like a hermit there. Like, what's Benny Baltic?
You're Benny Baltic.
Okay, stop. You guys are doing the thing where I don't know why you're calling me something. Can you give me...
Because you're un-American and you played in the Baltic League and BB sounds good. Like, Benny Communist doesn't sound good.
Okay,
Benny,
that's
commie,
all I was curious.
Benny Redcoat. I guess we could go Benny Redcoat. Benny Redcoat's kind of funny.
I think he's missing the point that many of those nations were part of the Soviet Union.
No, I knew that. Previous. Baltic,
yeah, I figured.
I knew that. My teammates gave me a history report.
So then what do we...
I just want to make sure we're on the same page, because you were kind of like looking at him like it was something over my head, which some things are. So I just want to make sure.
Josh, let's get to some oneers here.
Are you a one or a zero?
Good idea.
That's the question you have to ask yourself. Are you a yes or a no?
There's no such thing as a gray area. Life is binary. It's just a one or a zero.
He is Ben Brust. I'm Greg Scalzo. We're your contestants for one or zero. Josh DiMaggio, your host. He asks us a question. We say one for yes, zero for no. There is no gray area. Joshy, take it away. If you're looking, yes, I have Doritos, nacho cheese Doritos stuck in my throat right now, which is why I gave a little...
little cheese dust lodged in the throat.
And for the record, in case anybody missed out on the tease that happened last time... Josh DiMaggio highlights the one or zero he wants to tease heading into this segment. And today it was a countdown timer for traffic lights will make you more patient. Ben thought that was a horrible question.
It was terrible.
You're terrible. A Swedish supplement company claims to have made a hangover prevention pill that is said to reduce alcohol in the blood by half within 30 minutes of having a drink and continues to break down alcohol in one's system for up to 12 hours. One or zero. You would drink more often if you had a pill that prevented hangovers.
I mean, it's a one. I have to imagine it's a universal one. Sweden, though, is like if Elon Musk was a country. I feel like 50% of the time you hear some development comes out of their country, it never actually comes to fruition. Like, if you were to tell me there was a country that developed this, who is it? I would have said Sweden. They're full of it in Sweden. They just are.
It makes me concerned that it's a supplement company and not like an actual...
it's good.
Because the supplement, like, you don't have to...
Sweden, talk to me when you get your omega-3 fish oil right, and then we can play ball in the hangover.
Got good fish oil there.
Yeah, of course I would drink more if there was a pill to prevent hangovers. Like, that is a big part of I don't want to feel like crap tomorrow, especially now as a parent. My goodness. Like, I got to make a count if I know the next morning I'm going to be up at 7 a.m. regardless with a screaming kid.
Yeah, I'm going to go one, but, like, it doesn't feel real. It doesn't. It's too good to be true. I don't know anything about Sweden, so I'm not going to go into bashing them about their history of coming up with new things, but I think this would be a bad thing. I don't want to drink more. I already drink enough.
One or zero, the threat of a hangover is good for society.
One. Yes, one. Knowing what you have to face on the other side makes you more responsible. We would be absolutely reckless.
Oh, but gosh.
Think about the productivity in the workplace, though.
Mm-hmm. You're right. All those times that I spent learning how to handle hangovers, laying under my desk like a, I don't know, dead fish. And you had to teach me how to become...
You wouldn't
a
be
man?
Laying under your desk. You would be loudly wailing in an empty room so that people would hear you. It was a remarkable sight to be seen. But yes, like that, I agree.
I wouldn't be wasting time doing that.
I would still say one, though. Like, if there's something where you get that, you don't have to pay the penalty for what you're doing. There is no consequence for the action. That's a dangerous game.
I've also, now this might be a little crass here, but it seems like this would make actually getting intoxicated quite difficult, or even like tipsy if it's burning off that much. So like,
I didn't want to get into that, but yes, that was my first thought. It was like it's breaking it down, so I got to drink more actually, which probably still wouldn't be good for your body actually, because you're still drinking more and it's processing, and I don't know. I don't like the whole thing. I'm off the pill.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben. Next!
Audi has debuted a new technology that has access to all traffic lights and gives you a countdown on how many seconds it has left until it turns green. One or zero, a countdown timer for traffic lights will make you more patient.
Ben, I know this is your favorite question here. What do you got?
One, Josh, if I know when the lights are going to turn, I'll be able to prepare my mind to know when it's going to go green. I don't know. How do I make this question entertaining? Go ahead, try, Greg.
I don't think it's a problem. Like, why are we trying to solve this problem? Like, who... I don't get the sense that people
I'm not, are, like, counting.
I also just don't get the sense people are sitting at a red light, and they're like, you know what? This is taking too long, so I'm going to run it. Like, if you stop for a red light, you're generally staying there until it's green.
This guy's definitely not a downtown guy, let me tell you.
There's a lot of running
There's
red lights going on.
There's a lot of red light runners here.
But I have to imagine those people aren't stopping for the red light in the first place, is my point.
No, it's a rolling stop.
Yeah, the thing that interests me here is, like, if we've all been stuck at lights where it's like, this takes super long. If I look down and see a minute 30, I'm, like, going to lose my mind. I'd rather not know it's 90 seconds than just
what
have the possibility.
If you know it's 90, put it in P and sit on your phone.
Audi. Do something better with your time, your money, and your resources than telling us a countdown of how many seconds until the light turns green. Like, why is this a thing?
I mean, it'd be good for racing, but we're not racing on the streets.
Shouldn't be racing on the streets in general, Ben. When's the last time you pulled up to somebody?
I couldn't tell
and
you.
Pretended, gave them a look and pretended like, all right, I'm going to beat this person off the line.
Yeah, I got weekend. Nothing. No. No, I didn't even drive my car. I drove a top off car, so I could feel even more American.
Cool. How does it make you feel? I won't ask you that.
When you're say you're pulling up, it's a 2-lane road, and you're next to somebody. Are you trying to get off the line faster than them?
I mean, usually just to get open road, because I'm likely going to put it in cruise control faster than him.
He's the worst. The worst.
Why am I the worst? That's a good answer.
You know, I gotta get it to cruise control. You know, I gotta get off the line. Like, what are
now
you
look,
talking
I'm
about?
Also not gonna go off the line if I know I'm gonna be beat. Like, you gotta pick your fights. I haven't raced anybody.
Just
but if I think they may be faster than me, I'm not gonna try and beat them.
Any other?
I got in some serious road rage on the way to Madison. Some guy threw the fist at me, wanting to go fight on the side of the road. I rolled my window down.
What?
I rolled my
you
window.
You chickened out?
No. Slow down for a second.
Oh my god!
This guy was a chicken because I rolled my window down as we're driving side by side because I wanted to talk to him and be like, you know, I can't say anything I was saying on the radio because it was all swear words.
Well, what was the transgression?
I was. Entering onto the highway.
I'm not the guy.
I know. I wanted to kill him.
I'm not the guy.
I don't know. This is too long of a story. I don't want to get into it.
We will hear why Ben Bross chickened out on a street fight.
Shut up. I didn't chicken out. This guy was a weenie.
Puck, puck.
All right. I'll fight.
Puck, puck, puck,
if you guys want to pretend to be the guy that almost drove me off the road, I'll come and do what I would do to him.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom. I had a great freaking time at Road America, though. I'll tell you that much. I am an engine, and hearing the engines roar at the start-finish line was amazing. I brought three people who had never been to a race. They are hooked. They love Road America. They love the racing atmosphere. They loved just the ability to walk around the beautiful four-mile track and get all the different kinds of funky foods and try everything. We got to see Victory Lane. We got to be in the pits. We got to turn five. I'm going to show them different turns next time. Again, Road America, it was an amazing experience. I saw a ton of people out there. Beautiful day. Go to roadamerica.com because there's always something coming. There's still more at Road America. If you missed your opportunity for the NASCAR race, know that there are more historic sounds, sights, and smells at Road America in Elkhart Lake. You got the WeatherTech International Challenge coming next. Again, that's going to be July 14th through the 17th. Go to roadamerica.com to book your tickets today. Gosh, I can't wait for next year.
Baby Benny got bullied on the road. Buk, 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 buk. We'll hear the story of him chickening out next on Scalzo and Bruss, presented by the world's greatest beer, not for chickens, Bud Light.
You're listening to Bud Light, Scalzo, and Brust.
S-Dot chimes in with Cartillo's way.
Carlito's way.
Okay, so here's the thing. I promise you, the R word... No, Josh. The R does look like it goes over into the T.
Subscribe to the Scalzo and Brust podcast free on the Wisconsin On Demand app and wherever you get your podcasts.
also on Brust across ESPN Wisconsin, presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light. It was a Bud Light weekend for me, gentlemen. Of course, America's favorite light lager since 1982. Light, crisp, and refreshing, and ice cold Bud Light is waiting for you, brewed with four simple ingredients for the highest quality taste. For those like me who live on the light side of life, make it a Bud Light. Barley, rice, hops, and water creates that light, clean, crisp taste. So pick up Bud Light during your next visit to Woodman's, Total Wine, Festival, Walmart, Quick Trip, and Pick and Save. The Milwaukee Bucks signed Serge Ibaka over the weekend to round out their team, which is a carbon copy of the 2021-2022 Milwaukee Bucks, which fell in seven games to the Boston Celtics without Chris Middleton. They're banking on health, getting them back to that point and propelling them forward if health is on their side. What do you think of that approach? 800-990-3776. Is it too complacent? Or do you believe that the Bucks have everybody in the NBA chasing them? Because that's the mindset they must have if you just say, let's run it all back with the same guys.
The more you say that out loud, the more it continues to scare me. Because again, the goal is to win an NBA championship. And I, you know, I said earlier, you know, if they don't get back to the finals, obviously this offseason is a big miss. Mm-hmm. Just but like honestly, it's about winning a championship right now with the window that they're in with Middleton and Holiday as the core with Giannis. And so again, I don't love the approach because it goes beyond how we talked about the East. The West is also like there's teams making moves. Rudy Gobert getting sent to the Timberwolves. And I know the Timberwolves aren't going to be an NBA contender, but again, a team that's growing with young talent. The Warriors will continue to be there. So, like, other teams continue to make moves to get better while you're banking on the fact in a hypothesis that you would have been the world championship.
I will get to Ben's road rage story. Here in a minute, but Jake from Milwaukee is on the First Midwest Bank Talk and Text Line to talk Bucks. First Midwest Bank, division of Old National Bank. Jake, welcome to the Scowl Zone. Russ, what do you got?
I agree that they should keep the team as it is. If Chris Middleton doesn't get injured against the Celtics, I think they win the championship this year. And I have the mentality, if it's not broken, don't fix it. So they should keep the team as intact until someone beats them.
So you just think, hey, you're one of those, you know, few teams, what do you want to call it, 3-4 teams in the NBA,
elite
good
contenders.
Enough to win a championship. Don't mess with that. Just stay in that group as opposed to, hey, how do we continue to try to improve upon what we have?
Well, I just think they have a good, solid team. I think they have a good, balanced team offensively and defensively. I'm like, okay, you have a good balance on both teams. You're a great defensive team. You got a great, yeah, Giannis and Middleton. I just think you don't. Again, if it's working, it seems to be working right now.
Yeah, thank
we're
you, Jake.
Losing Jake. Thank you for the call.
I mean, look, obviously his point is a valid one because people who get paid a lot more than we do who work for the Milwaukee Bucks took that approach or taking that approach. So I understand. I don't think that there's a huge miss here. It just is so bizarre where you're not analyzing, ooh, this one tweak here, this one tweak there, who's going to be the seventh guy off the, you know, in the rotation. It's like, no, we already know exactly what this team is. We know what they look like. They'll probably be a top three seed in the East. And then it just really comes down to playoff rotations. It's
and
like
health.
The Packers the past couple of years where it's just like,
we got the core. We got Aaron Rodgers. We're going to be in the mix when we get there.
Can Aaron do it?
Can Giannis do it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the big question.
The worst part about, and I get what Jake's saying, they're balanced offensively and they're balanced defensively. But they really haven't been great in the playoffs offensively. They haven't. They have won on defense. And so that's where when everyone's like, Joe Ingles, that's great. I hope he's healthy because, you know what, I'd like to see someone other than Pat Connaughton make an important three in the playoffs because we know Grayson Allen ain't going to do it. The more length and athleticism that he's going to face in tougher defenses in the playoffs. And it's not a knock on Grayson Allen. It's great that he beat that he owned the Bulls in the first round. Congratulations, but you weren't able to produce. You were definitely overmatched against a Boston Celtics team in every way, shape, and form. And guess what? They're not going anywhere.
Well, it's not just them. That's the way the NBA is moving to a more positionless system where a guy like Grayson Allen will continue to struggle defensively on long wings that can shoot.
And again, to be fair, Grayson had to step into a role that he was not ready for because Chris Middleton was out.
He is Ben Brost. Baby Benny got bullied on, I shouldn't call you Baby Benny. Benny got bullied on the road in a road rage incident. You didn't have enough time to explain what happened last time. What do we got? What happened?
There's not enough time now, is there, Josh?
I feel like he keeps hiding from the story, Joshy.
No, I'd be happy to... I'm not telling it. My job is to be the best host and, to the Scalzo and Brust family. I'll talk for 5 minutes and then we'll... Then the listeners later won't get enough of
us. You think 5 minutes is how long your story is going to take?
Yeah.
All right, we will time it next on Scalzo and Brust.
No, Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust is next.
No, I need to hear the story.
Whoa.
We're moving. Come on, we're moving. Are You Smarter Than
you
Ben Brust?
You can't move. Are You Smarter Than Ben Brust? You can't do that.
You can't tell the story in 5 minutes. You'll be done in a minute and a half. You're promising me 5 minutes. Right. You won't get more than 60 seconds.
At McKinley, you know when you hop on? You hop on, and if you want to go.
That's what she said.
East to Madison, now 94, you don't have to change lanes. So I literally have come on this highway and stayed in the right lane, and somebody did not check, and they started veering into me. And so I had to exit out of my lane to the right and almost go into the wall, honk, and then, like, I throw my hands up, and I give him the bird, and because I'm like, what are you doing? And then he gets pissed at me. You're going to get pissed at me? I got a girlfriend and two beautiful puppy dogs in the car, and you're going to try and run me over? And so we went back and forth with each other for, like, probably 2 miles.
You mean back and forth, like in terms of gestures?
Gestures. But then I rolled my window down because I was going to be like, dude, I'm not fighting you. You ran me over. You're a blank, 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 blank. And then when he just threw his fist into his hand, I knew he was a little weenie because he didn't roll his window down and talk to me. He just wanted to be a fake tough guy. He was white. Never mind. Can I say white trash? Because I just did. Loser.
Would you have fought the man?
Absolutely not. I've never fought anyone. I ain't fighting anyone, but I will stand up for him being an absolute lunatic. Not again, I want to say so many inappropriate words that this is really hard to do. Why'd you guys do that?
Well, you chickened out, man.
I didn't chicken out.
You represent the family. You got owned by this guy.
Yeah, guess what? I got his license plate so I can send Jason and Madison after him. I don't think he wants that.
Did you really get his license plate?
No.
I could see you calling, like, you know.
Jason, help.
You legitimately got fist. Like,
he gave me hand in the fist
motion.
And
he backed down. And Benny backed down.
Yeah. Why would I get in a fight with some random psycho?
Caller number four, are you smarter than Ben Brust?
You wouldn't have fought either, Josh.
By the way.
You want to fight now, you little weenie?
Oh, let's see it. Fight.
Come on.
Fight. Fight.
Yeah, you want to act all tough?
Fight. Fight.
Been in more fights than you have.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And how did you turn out?
I haven't lost them.
Yeah. Well,
still here.
Let's get in the ring.
I would pay to see that match.
Yeah, we know.
I would put up a prize. 90 seconds, just over 90 seconds on that story you thought would take a full 5 minutes.
Well, I had to shorten
it. Number four, are you smarter than Ben Brust? 90 seconds, 15 questions, a $25 gift card at stake. 800-990-3776. Caller number four, are you smarter than Ben Brust? 800-990-3776. Are you smarter than Ben Brust? Next on Scalzo and Brust, we're presented by the world's greatest beer, Bud Light.